This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
The Blacksmere Christian Fellowship Sunday Morning Sermon presents Pastor Arthur Park, Distraction.
Well, bless the Lord. Amen. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit or from destruction, who crowns our lives with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouth with good things, so that our youths are renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. That's our God. I just want to read from the Word of God because this is where I've got this passage of Scripture from. This is from Amplified. And because it had the word distractions in there, it grabbed my attention. But as we were coming into the new year, I've always personally wanted to hear from God and say, what are you saying? What are we going into in this year? What is it you'd want to say? Where are the people at, Lord? What is something that will be appropriate? What is something that will be a help to the people as we've gone into 2016? And without even a hesitation or anything like that, the word distraction came up in my mind. So I wrote it down, and I still have it written. I've written it down and just left it there. So this is what this is about having distractions in our lives. And it means this, two things, that all distractions are not bad, but we need to prioritize what it truly is we need to be focusing on and get that accomplished, get that done. Amen? And we could say that, well, distraction is a work of the devil. In some cases, that may be true, but I've found that the flesh can be easily distracted. And the devil ain't got nothing to do with that. It's just ourselves. Just human stuff, you know? So in the book of Galatians, it talks about the outworking of the flesh. It talks about the outworking of the Spirit, that the flesh always, not sometimes, always lusts against the Spirit. Always. The flesh is always trying to have its way, isn't it? You know it. You know all you need to know is when it comes around dinner time, you know. Hey, you can stop yourself for a while or whatever, unless you're focused, unless you're specifically fasting or doing something that'll stop you from going to the fridge or going to the dinner table, you will end up going to the dinner table. Because your flesh is telling you to, one way or the other. I don't want to talk about the things. This is something that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart in these things that we have that are going to distract us. You know, we got the boy meets girl thing. We already know about that. Hey, that didn't just happen to you. It happened to us long before you were even around. But I can remember, even as a young fella, walking along with, you know, we'd pick the old like this, and we used to pick a flower. And we'd walk along and we'd pick off a petal and say, she loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. And then you'd look right to the end and you'd see where you were going to end up. And then when you knew you were going to end up on that she loves me not, you would chuck it away and say, I don't believe that rubbish anyway. That's true. And then you'd walk along, you grab another flower and hope that something else was going to turn out a bit better for you on that one. I still remember that man, eh? And I looked back and I was thinking, how foolish was that? But those things happen. How many of you believe that God wants to do something new for you in 2016? You know, he wants to. But guess what? He wants to do it more than you want it. He needs your cooperation for something greater to happen in your life. I must have an expectation of greatness. I must have an expectation of faith that, hey, regardless of what 2015 was for you, you know, all of us have trials. All of us have challenges in life. All of us have some periods of life that are sorrowful, not as great as other times. Sometimes we're down in the valley in the course of a year. Sometimes you're up on the mountaintop, but you're not always there. Amen? Sometimes we have little disappointments. Sometimes we have great disappointments. But guess what? Have you noticed that regardless of all of that, Time marches on. Here we are again at the end. We have just finished 2015. This is something here. Every 24 hours, we have a new day. Every 7 days, we have a new week. Every 4 weeks, sometimes five, we have a new month. Every 12 months, we have a new year. But is there a new you? Is there a new you? Because this is something I've said this plenty of times before, that it is a form of insanity to keep doing the same dumb old stuff and expect something new. And if I'm going into my new year of 2016, but I'm carrying on the same silly stuff or something that hasn't produced well for me in 2015, it's insane for you to carry that stuff on, hoping for a better result in 2016. You know, but we all do it. This is one thing I know. If I put down a pumpkin seed, I get a pumpkin. So for us, we've got to look at that in our spiritual lives, and we've got to look, if we want something new, if we want something new coming up in our lives, we have to do something we've never done. You have to sow something different to reap something different. You have to. It just doesn't happen. God doesn't just come down out of the clouds and bless you, brother. Bless you, my sister. We've got to cooperate. There's like when my wife talked about the Psalm 91, see, there was a condition to that psalm. The very first verse, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Mighty. I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge, my rock, my fortress. So we, the redeemed of the Lord, must say so. But we must learn how do we dwell in that secret place? How do we get to that secret place? Because in that secret place, that word tells us that we're untouchable. That's part of a confession that Pastor Nigel has, and he says, we're unbeatable, untouchable, and undefeatable. You've got to think about that. You think, oh, yeah, brother, but you just don't know what's happened to me. I don't have to know what's happened to you. I just know what happened to Jesus. I know what happened to him. I know that he got whipped. I know that he was beat up for me. That's all I got to know. I'm not trying to be hard or trying to, you know, I'm sympathetic or with your struggles. We know because we've been there ourselves. We've experienced stuff. See, but I don't want to, in this message today, this is something that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. It's not about the boy-girl thing. It's not about, what do you reckon is the biggest distraction we have in the world today? What is it? TV? Hey, technology in some sort of way. But technology, TV, all of that stuff still has good stuff. It has Christian channels. It has some good stuff coming through TV. You have the odd, you have some good movies. There's stuff on your iPhones and iPads and all of that other stuff. There's some good stuff there. And put in the right hands of the right man or woman, that is a tool for God. Amen. To do the right thing. But if not, you and I are only a click away from disaster. You know it and I know it. You and I are only a touch away, a click away from things that can devastate our lives. You might not mean for it to, but it will do it. And so therefore we get to, I'll tell you, this is the flesh. The flesh wants to do some unruly things. He wants to do stuff and take you to places that you don't really want to go. And it has the promise of something great, but the end is death. The end is sorrow. The end is heartache. And the end is brokenness. Amen? You fellas know about this. What I actually want, what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart, and this is in a distracting way, is the distraction of unforgiveness. The distraction of remaining in a position of unforgiveness and how much that will distract you. Why? Why is unforgiveness such a distraction to us? Because in unforgiveness, your thoughts are continually about what's been done to you. You have tormenting thoughts. You don't have thoughts of peace when you're in unforgiveness. You have thoughts of torment. You go over stuff in your mind. You replay that scenario so many times that, like for me, because I've been there, just end up with a blooming headache. End up worn out. End up beat up. End up thinking like, you know, you instead of walking around in victory, you walk around in defeat. You're trying to maintain an outward appearance of hallelujah, glory to God, but that ain't what's happening on the inside of you. What's happening in here is havoc. What's happening inside you, the turmoil that happens inside you. This is real stuff, eh, saints? This is real. We all, most of us would know. There's a lot of us been through a whole lot of stuff. There's a lot of you young ones, you've experienced heartache in some way, shape, or form. You've experienced something of unforgiveness. Something where it's hard to let go something. You know, somebody said something to you. And you got that, what they said, playing over in your mind. And you're thinking, how do I get rid of that? Or you might even be thinking that. You'll be thinking or agreeing with that. You agree sometimes with what the devil says to you and what other people say to you. And they are put downs. They disempower you to live victoriously. You know, we can, you know what I mean? You could bring a whole lot of raft of other things. But this is something that I really believe that God is, you know, oh, my husband doesn't do this for me. He ain't done it, you know. Oh, my wife, she hasn't done this for me. And the kids, they ain't well do this and da-da-da-da-da. And all this. You know, you can end up wearing yourself out. Hey, you're no use to the kingdom. You're no use to, actually, you're no use to anybody. Because that poison, that stuff that's in you will poison other people when you get around them. And this is another thing that I've seen even for my own life. Staying in unforgiveness keeps me in the negative of life all the time. I can never see something positive. I'm always in the negative. And then because I'm in the negative, all I see is what's negative in other people. I never see what's good in them. I can comment on how negative you are. And that's what it does to you. It wrecks your life. It ruins you. It steals from you joy. It steals from you the ability to rejoice in life when you should be able to rejoice. This is something that I've learned, something that I know that I look to Jesus. And I realize what he has done for me. Now I know that I've hurt people. And I know that people have hurt me. But every time that I found myself in a situation of discouragement or despair, something that's challenging to me, something that somebody said or somebody hasn't done something the way I would have liked it to be done. You find yourself in a place. All I do is look to Jesus. I look to the Lord and I look at what he did. Because all of us have failed in something. All of us. But like we have learned, or winners are not those who have never failed, but those who never quit. So we still have to get up the next morning. We still have to go again the next day. Life doesn't stop because you are not in a good mood. Have you fellas noticed that? Hey, life goes on with or without you. 2016's coming along whether you like it or not. It's a decision of your will. Will I decide to rejoice in this year? Will I decide to do something different with my life this year? I don't know if you made New Year's resolutions. All I know is that with my wife and I, we pray in the new year. We give our first breath and our desires and things to God. Because I want something different. I want something different. I want something different for me and for my family. I want something different. We're not in sin or doing anything crazy and dumb. All that sort of stuff. All I know is that I want the Lord. I want my children to know the Lord. That's more important to me than anything. Because one day, I will be off the scene. Just like some of us are. But the words that I have spoken, the encouragement that I have given, the legacy I can leave is an example of my life to my family. That's more important to me than anything. I don't want to be the richest man. Playing with my grandchildren over New Year's and Christmas has been the richest thing for me because I need them. I need them. Running around and seeing those boys, such big smiles on their faces. You know, and I'm hard-pressed to be running around with them. Not because I don't want to, I just can't be bothered. Plus, they can run a lot longer than I can. You know, they don't understand things about getting tired, man. You know, they don't understand about getting a breather. But anyway, back to what I was supposed to be talking about. Getting distracted. I just want to, this is something that I didn't bring this up at when we had our graduation. But this is something that I wanted to say. And it was the forgiveness. I think we can overlook a lot of things and how important forgiveness is in our life. In our lives. And, this is true. You only have to be married a little while before you know that, you know, there's going to have to be some forgiveness in your life. Do I hear amen from the married couple? Or we just all fine and dandy, everything's all good all the time. Hey, we have altar call for liars up here. Come on. We know that when you're married, you're tested and tried. Hey, and if any man wants to die to self, well, getting married is a good way to do it. No offense there. But you learn, eh? You learn how to be. You have to learn to grow with each other, to always be forgiving and be quick to forgive. Because there are things that we do and say that sometimes hurt each other. We don't mean to, but we need to be mature enough and big enough to go to each other and say, look, man, I'm sorry. I actually don't know what I've done, but I can see you're upset. And then they tell you what it is, and you go, is that all? What's the big deal? And then you're back in the dog box. Hey. So you learn, hey, brothers? You learn how to... Hey, it's like your dad said, hey, James? Yes, dear. Yes, dear. You know what I mean, eh? It's not about trying to win. It's trying to about help each other. Hey, because we're different. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how different we are sometimes? Even though you get married, you're very different. And then, you know, you can live apart from one another. You can do all this, and all this is lovely, and everything he does is excellent and beautiful, and she's so poor, beautiful, mate. And then when you start living together, all of this beautifulness goes. And all of a sudden, that bugs me. The truth. But what I have found, and I can speak this out to you, what I have found is that as we go through this stuff, as we help each other and as we forgive and as we grow and mature as a couple, it's those very things that cement your relationship. It's those very things that you wish you could have avoided, but it's those very things, those very trials, those very hard places that we're put into at times. Make no mistake, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's our enemy. But God will always come. He's the good fixer-upper. Hey, he'll come and help you to fix up stuff. And guess what? A lot of that stuff can be fixed up by just saying, please forgive me. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize what I said hurt you. I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean to hurt you. That can fix stuff, man. Hey, but if you go along and just do the old, you know, you don't want to know, and she'll be right and she'll get over it, or he'll grow up, you know, grow up, mate. All of that sort of stuff. Those things will build up in your relationships. And then somewhere along the line, you'll have a big blow up. And it hasn't even been about the thing that you blew up about. It's just the other stuff that was all swept under the carpet. You know, the carpet's this high now. Look, this is something that that even for my wife and I learned that we would need to take care of stuff straight away. You do your best, you know. How many of you know about the silent treatment? Come on, you fella, cow. Oh, man. You know, sometimes us guys like it. Yeah, we don't have to say anything. We don't have to talk. It's all good. We're in the box. We're just chilling out. Everything's great. Leave us alone. There's no problem until we start talking. But you know, once it is time to talk, once it is time to talk and you start discussing stuff, and you know, this is how you get to know one another. Huh? This is how relationships are. And I realised that with my wife and I, for us, we've stayed up to early morning hours talking and discussing. We've enjoyed a period of time where our granddaughters and daughters are away with our older daughter, and we've enjoyed a time of just being with us. Just us. We ain't had a time to be with us. Just us. You know, do what we want to do. You know, the old honeymoon, there was no honeymoon. You got kids, mate. You got responsibilities. You know, it would be great if you could just take them and plonk them somewhere, but you just can't when they're that little. So you got to learn through the pressures and stresses or distractions of a lot of other things what's most important. And what's most important as we're growing as a family is our relationship with each other. We can be distracted by, oh, you blimmin' hurt me. You know, and we get all caught up on the hurt me and we forget about the relationship. There's a greater thing here. Let's look after one another. Amen. You know, we get distracted by such little trivial stuff that all of a sudden, who cares about the marriage? Well, the marriage is greater, isn't it? The whole outcome of your family and a marriage is greater than the trivial little stuff that has upset the old apple cart for a bit. So we need to be able to be mature enough to deal with that stuff. I have seen it. I can honestly tell you, without a word of a lie, I'm in love more today than I've ever been in my life. I'm truly in love with my wife. She's my darling. She's my love. Outside of Jesus, I told her, I said, outside of Jesus, hon, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And that's not lying. I'm not making that up just so, you know, like the old days. You know, you've got something else on your mind. But we are not going there. But, you know, I've had to grow up, mate. You know, and I've said this before too. It's like, you know, God must have thought that we really need help as men. Because we got two helpers. We got the Holy Spirit and we got our wives. And our wives continually remind us that we need help. But it's all good because the reality is that we do. Huh? We do need help. But I tell you something, this is something that I've looked at in the privilege of marrying Brother James and Sister Chevelle, and I looked at the privilege in that, but I looked at the word for the word helper, what it really means for a wife to be alongside her husband and to help him, because we need help. Not a big amen from the brothers, but you, hey, like old Pastor Cole says, hey, you just watch out that your halos don't slip down around your neck and strangle you. Like I'm the only one with issues in there. But anyway. Man, I got distracted again. Back here. But anyway. Oh. Unforgiveness. I'll go with the negative first because unforgiveness is the bait of Satan. And if you take the bait, like we used to be growing up, and there was a phrase, usually, you took the bait, hook, line, and sinker. You took the whole thing. Now, I know there's stuff that goes down in marriages that is tough stuff. And it takes a lot of working out, and there's stuff that I'm not trying to belittle that stuff. But at the end of it all, when I'm looking at struggles or things that my wife and I have had to press through or go through, in the end, I'm looking at her. She is not my enemy. You got to remember that, saints. Hey, our wars are not against flesh and blood. Even when we've had stuff go on, you got to remember that you're in a covenant, you're married, and that you got to treat her like that. She needs to treat you like that. I'm not her enemy, but we do have an enemy. And if we're uncareful, that enemy will steal, kill, and destroy from your relationship. If you don't get your act together, he will do it, and he'll do it with joy. That's the bait of Satan. Unforgiveness will keep you in Egypt. It will keep you in the past. And guess what else it will do? It will keep you a slave. You're a slave to unforgiveness. You might think you got it all together. You might think it's all good and all, you know, and all of that. And sometimes I think that this is two things I've heard that have rocked my boat a little bit. One was from Pastor Mark Hankins because he says, if you're a Christian and you're not praying, then you ain't even a Christian because Christians pray. Pastor T.D. Jakes says, if you're a Christian and you're in unforgiveness, then you're not even a Christian because Christians forgive. What do you think about that? That's challenging, eh? You know, I think sometimes we have a choice. We don't even have a choice. You see, when God, see, this is it. We've enlisted in God's army. Amen? Who's the boss? You or me? Hey, you don't come into the kingdom and say, God, this is the way things are going to happen here, mate. No, we enlisted in his army. And when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, then no one goes to the Father except for him. When he said he was the way, then we must look at his ways. And his way is a way of forgiveness. It's never going to be a way of unforgiveness. Never. God will never do that. He never leaves. You know, he says, if you're standing by the altar and you know that your brother has aught against you, then lay down your gift and go and see your brother and put it right with him. If you stand praying and you know that you need to be forgiving with someone, you need to forgive. I'm not, forgiveness, like here, this is part of our LCU. This is the Life Christian University stuff that we've been going through. This is something that really spoke to me. And, you know, and this is, forgiveness is the foundation of the gospel. This is what our study was telling us. Forgiveness is not an option, it's mandatory. And it's like you and I stand before God and say, well, no. Have you ever thought about this? What if you were to die and you were in unforgiveness? Now, I know we don't think about that, but what if you did? Did you think that what happened to Pastor would ever happen? No. No way. Did you ever think that there was a possibility that you could drop dead and you would die in unforgiveness, therefore die in sin and not even make heaven, because even though you'd been in the house of God? There is no unforgiven person in heaven. And you certainly wouldn't be the first one. He's not going to make an exception. So it's heavy stuff, eh, saints? This is heavy stuff. But this is something, this is part of our, we've heard pastors talk about this, about our sanctification. This is part of ourselves being right before God, living how God wants us to live. You know, oh yeah, my mum and dad done this and said all of that. Well, you need to deal with it. You do. You can't sweep it under the bridge. It just doesn't go away. Forgiveness does not mean we condone the wrong that was done to us. You understand that? You've got to understand that. You've got to know that. Just because you forgive a person doesn't mean I agree with what you've done. I'm letting you off the hook. No, no, no. It's a requirement. I must forgive you. But now there's another process we'll go through. I forgive you. You know, reconciliation doesn't happen straight away just because you're forgiven. See, the pivotal point there is repentance. A person can be forgiven, but a person must show signs of repentance, fruits of repentance. Something must be different in your actions now to show me that you are truly repentant or sorry for what you did. That's what happens to all of us. It doesn't just change just because you said, oh, forgive me, and carry on. Because then we're caught in the fact that we could end up doing the same dumb old stuff again. And then repeat the same stuff. So this is here, listen to this. Forgiveness is a decision, an act of the will done by faith before God. That's forgiveness. So it's an action of the will. And this is something that I believe the Lord drew. This is where you can have your own personal Gethsemane. You know what that means? Like Jesus was in the garden, he says, not my will, but your will. When you're in unforgiveness, what you're saying to God is, hey, not your will, my will. I don't want to forgive. They've hurt me too much. They've done too much. That sort of a thing. So your will, this is something that you must make a choice. I will to forgive. I must make a decision to forgive. And then I must continually walk out that, because my feelings are going to tell me, no, you're not forgiven. You know, you still look at them and you're still feeling ugly. But you can't go by your feelings. You can't go by that. You go by I've made a decision of my will to forgive. And as far as I'm concerned, I've forgiven before God. And it's by faith. So that's what happens. Amen? Be quick to forgive. Don't listen to your feelings and don't listen to those dumb thoughts in your head. Let it go. And be a forgiving person. Amen?
Thank you for tuning in to the Flashmere Christian Fellowship Sunday Morning Sermon, broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.